Church websites can get messy quickly, and without regular maintenance, they can get downright out of control. If it's been a while since the last cleanup of your ministry's website, this episode of the MyCom Church Marketing Podcast is for you. Thanks, everybody, for listening. My name is Dan Wunderlich. I'm a United Methodist pastor, and I am so glad that you have chosen to join us today. Before we jump into the three categories we'll be looking at today, I want to start with a few words of encouragement. And the first thing is that we recognize that web design is not easy. Now, it's getting easier all the time. There are services that offer templates and web design tools, and we'll touch on that in a little bit, but it's not easy. Even some of these tools that are easy to use, they kind of box you in. And so if you want to do anything creative or anything custom or anything that maybe is particular to church or your church in particular, it might require some technical knowledge and some know-how that allows you to break out of some of those boxes, and it's not always easy. And of course, we here at United Methodist Communications understand that many of you are doing this by yourself. Whether you're the pastor of a smaller congregation or you're a volunteer church communications person who is putting in time on the evenings or the weekends or your days off in order to serve your church, we know that many of you are doing this by yourself, but know that you are not entirely by yourself. We are here to support you. And to get really and specifically encouraging, I want to tell you that while websites are very, very important, you can do ministry with a very simple website. In one of our upcoming episodes, we'll talk about making your church website visitor-friendly. And I would argue that if you don't have a lot of time or a lot of resources to pour into creating a website, the most important thing you can do is create a site that is essentially a brochure that is super attractional to people who are interested in visiting your church. Members can find information other ways. You just want to reach visitors. If you can build a really simple website that does that, you will find success in ministry. And some of what we may get into in this episode is beyond your technical capability. So I just want to tell you what is most important is to do what you can, Google what you can, and get help where you can. Now, I want to pair these words of encouragement with a word or two of conviction as well. The clutter on your church website is much like the clutter in your house or your office. You may not be responsible for all of it, but you do have the power to clean at least some of it up. Oftentimes, clutter is a result of neglect or just choosing not to clean things up. And as it builds up, it gets harder and harder to clean up. And if you have a messy or outdated website because you tell yourself no one goes to it, it's more and more likely that people are not going to go to it from now on because it's messy. It's sort of a chicken and an egg, right? You're not going to clean it up because no one goes, but no one goes because it's messy and hard to use. And so I want to encourage you and convict you that it is time to clean up the clutter on your church website. We're going to start with a discussion about design, because design is the first aspect of your site that visitors will encounter. And as soon as your site loads, they're starting to form an opinion about your ministry. In fact, Stanford's Persuasive Technology Lab discovered that 46% of people, so nearly half of people, say that the design of a website is the number one factor in discerning the credibility of an organization. And that may drive you absolutely crazy. I mean, we are churches, we're ministries. We are not some fancy design firm. We should be judged on the content of our message and our mission and our spirit in the community. Those are the things that should matter. And it's also frustrating because it means that other people who are good at creating flashy, splashy web designs, who maybe don't have the mission and the ministry that you have, they have a fancy website and suddenly they seem really attractional. It just seems unfair. But when it comes to things like people's gut reactions, we can't change them. We can only listen and respond. And if we're being honest, we probably do the same things too, don't we? When we visit a website that's cluttered or outdated or simply ugly, we begin to make internal judgments. And so we need to be able to start seeing our church or ministry websites with fresh eyes. See it how the people who don't build the website, you know, see it through the eyes of the people who aren't responsible for it. It's a lot easier for us to make excuses for ourselves when we're the ones responsible for it and we know how much we do and don't know and how much time we do and don't have. All of those things don't really matter to the people visiting your website. They want to be able to find what they're looking for and have a good experience. But don't worry, there are some easy things we can do to refresh and keep up to date the design on our website. And the first thing is to use a template. If you are still using the handmade HTML site that someone built you in 2006 for like an Eagle Scout project or just something that someone did for fun, it is time to thank that person for all of their work and for the decade plus that that website has served the church. And it's probably time to move on to a different solution. If you are going in and editing HTML code, if you're logging on to FTP or opening up programs like Dreamweaver or other code programs, it's time to lay those things to the side. There are easier things to use. One of the most common platforms that folks use on the internet is WordPress. And WordPress requires a little bit of technical knowledge, but there's all kinds of themes out there that help you have a good looking website right out of the box. In fact, there are some United Methodist themes that you can get through United Methodist Communications. In fact, there are some United Methodist themes that are available, and you can contact United Methodist Communications for more information, and they'll get you set up with a template that looks great, that is branded with United Methodist branding, and just allows you to plug in your information. Another solution that a lot of churches turn to is Squarespace. It's a service that you do have to pay a subscription fee for, so you'll be paying a certain amount per month, where WordPress is often free. You'll have to pay for hosting, but the WordPress platform itself is free. Squarespace is a subscription service, but Squarespace oftentimes takes care of all the technical things on the backside. They have tons of great-looking templates. Their website builder is relatively user-friendly, relatively intuitive, and it's a solution that a lot of churches have turned to. And so this first piece of advice that we have for you is to use a template. The second design thing that you want to do is use good photography. And you're going to want to use photos of real people from your church, not stock photos, and I would argue not even building photos. I can't tell you the number of church websites that I go to where the first thing I see is the building. And that's nice and all, but I'm not coming to your church to sit inside of your building. I'm coming to be a part of your community, and I want to see what your community looks like. I want to see who's there. Do they look friendly? Do they look happy to be there? These are the things that we want the imagery on our websites to communicate. And the good news is that modern day smartphones have exceptional cameras in them. They may not be as great as a professional level camera, but they are getting better all the time, and they can totally get the job done for the website photography. The most important thing is to have good lighting. Oftentimes what goes wrong when we try to take pictures on our phone is that we have bad lighting. People are backlit or their faces aren't lit up enough and we can't really see the details, or there's poor contrast. As long as you have good lighting and good framing, your smartphone can get the job done. But of course, you can also try to recruit or hire a photographer, and they don't need to be someone that's permanent on staff. There are a lot of churches that have photographers roaming all throughout the services. Maybe you can find someone or a group of people that can make a donation specifically to bring in a professional photographer for one Sunday, have them capture what it's like to be there on a Sunday, and then you have a whole set of images that you can use not only on your website, but on social media as well. All right, so we've got a template, we've got good photography. The next thing we're going to want to look at is choosing fonts and colors. And we want to pick them intentionally. We want to choose fonts and colors that work well together. And I would encourage you, we have an episode in our archive all about selecting fonts, and we've got some instructions and tips in there about how to pair fonts well and how to employ them on your website. And just like with fonts, you are going to want to limit your color palette. You're going to want to have a limited selection of fonts and colors that help the design look unified. So you're really looking for possibly two fonts, a headline and a body font. You might have a third font for down in the footer or a subheading, but oftentimes you can just take a font that you're already using and bold it or italicize it. So really we're looking for a headline font and a body font. Those will go a long way for you. And then when it comes to colors, oftentimes you're looking for two or three colors, a primary color, a secondary color, and then maybe a highlight color. A really good illustration or example that I've heard when selecting colors is to think about when a gentleman is putting on a suit. You've got a jacket, a shirt, and a tie. And so your primary color is like the jacket. That is the color that's going to take up the most amount of space. Then you've got the shirt. That's the secondary color. It's going to take up the next amount of space, and it needs to coordinate well with the jacket. And then you've got the tie. That's sort of the highlight color. Another example is the painting on a house. You look at houses, we've got the wall colors. That's the primary color. Then we've got the trim color. That's your secondary color. And then oftentimes, houses have doors or shutters painted a third color, and that is a sort of a highlight color. And you want to employ this same kind of hierarchy on your website. You're going to have a primary color that people see most of the time. You might use that as the background of a section, or you might use that as the color for your headlines, or you might use that as the background color for your footer. Then you've got a secondary color. This is used in maybe your menu system or throughout. And then you have a highlight color, and that's maybe what you use for buttons, especially when you want to draw people's attention and call them to action. Now, when you are looking for fonts or colors, there are lots of resources on the internet. And one that I would recommend specifically for finding fonts is using Google Fonts. Google Fonts are usually pretty easy to employ on your website. They also tend to be built into a lot of templates. So if you buy a theme from WordPress or even in Squarespace, they oftentimes have high quality fonts, maybe even the full range of Google Fonts that you can select from. Google Fonts are not only high quality, but they're free, and lots of designers out there have written blog posts or even created full websites to help you pair Google Fonts well. So you can search Google Font pairing and you'll see lots of examples. Find one that has the right feel for your church, and maybe that's a great way to select the fonts for your website. Okay, so we've got a template, photography, fonts, and colors. Now let's talk about an aspect of design that non-designers often don't think about or even notice, and that's white space. White space is talking about the space in between objects. So it's not always white. It may be the color of the background of your site. Maybe you've got a block of text that's a blue background and then your text is white. The space around it is what's known as white space. What makes websites feel old, what makes websites feel cluttered, what makes websites feel unhelpful and outdated is often when things are too cramped. You want to create space in between objects. You want to create space around blocks of text. You want it to feel like the page has place to breathe. You want it to feel like it's balanced. You want there to be space in between objects that helps the eye and the brain relax a little bit. You don't feel so overwhelmed by thing after thing after thing, image after text after text after text. Putting in space, oftentimes through a characteristic known as padding. There is also margin, but margin is the space between objects like a box, where padding would be the space inside the box between the text and the edge of the box. You want to play with these measurements to try to get something that feels nice and free and relaxed. You want to use white space. The next thing is we want to simplify our calls to action and simplify our menus. Now, this gets a little bit into content, which we'll talk about in the next section, but it's more about the organization of your content. You want to help guide people through your website. So while you might have 5 pages or 10 pages or 20 pages on your website, you don't necessarily want all 5, 10, or 20 pages to be available as the next option. Now, they might be available somewhere through the menu, but what I'm talking about is we want to guide people through our website. What is the first page we want them to read? What is the next page we want people to read? Then after that, what would be next most helpful for them to learn about our church or our ministry? And we can use buttons, we can use menus, we can use literal calls to action. Hey, if you are finished reading about our church, why don't you click here to learn more about our staff? We can guide people through our websites. And by simplifying those things and essentially holding people's hands, we can guide them through our websites in the order that we want them to learn about our church in ways that we find and think will be most helpful. Lastly, on the design front, we want to check the mobile version, right? The use of tablets and smartphones is on the rise, and the use of desktops and laptops is on the decline. More and more, people are just using the internet on the phone they have in their pocket rather than walking to the other room to find the computer. And this is especially true when people are looking for places to go or places to check out. Maybe they are out at a coffee shop on Sunday morning and decide that they want to go to church that day. They're not going to run home and look on their laptop. They're going to look on the phone that they have in their hand. So we need to make sure that our websites work well, that they look good on mobile devices. We want to make sure that all of these things that we've covered so far, things like white space and fonts and colors and typography and photography, we want to make sure that all of these things work well and look right on mobile phones as well as desktop versions, because almost all of our design is going to be done on a laptop or a desktop. But we need to remember to check the mobile version. If you have a great theme or a service like Squarespace or a high quality template from WordPress, they will oftentimes come mobile ready and they will use a sort of intelligence or code that's written in to make your site look good, but you always want to double check it and make sure things look right. Okay, so now we have our site looking good. Now we need to make sure that it communicates the right information. And I'm going to stop right here and say, if the front page of your website does not have worship times and location primarily visible and easy to find, you need to hit pause right now and go put that on your website right now, no matter what you're doing. This is the most critical information and it needs to be front and center. If someone who is interested in visiting your church comes to the front page of your website and cannot figure out where to go or when to go, they are not going to go through the hard work of finding that. They're just going to click off and find another church. So make sure worship times and location are front and center, especially on the front page. And it doesn't hurt to put that information on the footer so it shows up on every page of your website, no matter where they are. Next, a good way to clean up your church website is to remove outdated information and graphics. You don't want your church website to be the equivalent of the house in the neighborhood with Christmas lights that are still up in March, right? There's no excuse for going to a church website in February or March and see the invitation to the Christmas Eve service still up. Now, obviously, those things are very blatant. If we go to our websites and we see an invitation to Christmas in March or we see an invitation to Easter in August, we know that we have failed. But funnily enough, we do this with other aspects of our ministry as well. Maybe we have a page for small groups, and the listing of small groups is actually from last spring and not this summer. We need to keep up with the information on our website, make sure that it is up to date. And we need to next ensure that critical information is correct. It's not enough just to pull down the ad for Christmas, but maybe you change worship times depending on the date or the season. Maybe you add extra services during the fall and the spring, but you have a reduced schedule during the summer. Make sure that you have the accurate and most recent schedule up. You need to make sure that things like your address and your contact information, listing of small groups, we need to make sure that all of these entry points and all of this critical information is correct. Cleaning this up and making sure that all the information on your website is correct is going to help someone, whether it's a visitor or a member, stay plugged in as effectively as possible. Next, we need to update the photography. Now, we talked in the first part about having effective photographs, and we want to focus on people and smiles. And you may have thought to yourself, that's great. Our site has lots of pictures of people and smiles, and we got the lighting right, and the photos look great. But I'm going to ask you, when were they taken? Do things look different now? Is the lobby or the narthex of your church or the stage or chancel area, have they been redesigned? Do they look different? Is the picture on the front page of a young boy or girl in your church that was an acolyte when they were in fourth grade and now they're a senior in high school in youth group? And let me ask you, how old are your staff photos? Is the picture of your pastor or the picture of the front desk person from 10 years ago? And it's very clear once you've seen the staff photo and you see the person in real life that those pictures were taken a long time ago. We want to make sure not only that we have good photography, but that we have contemporary photography. So I would recommend that if you have staff photos, that you take them every year. Just pick a time of the year, whether it's the back to school season or during the summer, do a photo shoot, take a headshot of each person for the website once a year. And as far as updating photography of ministry events and things, every couple of years is fine, but certainly after you redesign something or redecorate something or repaint something or even do a full renovation, you want to make sure to update the photography. Next, we want to simplify, simplify, simplify. We all skim websites. And don't you even try to tell me that you don't. We all skim websites. And yet when we write the content for our own church and ministry websites, we write it as if we think someone's going to sit down and read for 30 minutes. And it is so hard to self-edit because we think everything is important. Everything our church does is important. Everything that we have to say and everything that we want to communicate is so important. So it is actually important for you to get help. Find someone that is not as connected. It could be someone that is at your church, so they know about your church, or it could be someone who is outside of your church who reads maybe the history of the church and says, this part is interesting, this part is not necessary, I don't care about this part. Have someone help you edit down the content on your website. This also applies to the number of pages on your website. If you go to the menu of your church website and there are 20, 30, 40 pages because there's a different page for every ministry or every small group, it's just overwhelming. And when a website is cluttered or overwhelming, people are just, they're going to leave. They're going to turn to other options. They're not going to stick around. They're not going to read all of the information. So edit, 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 and find someone to help you edit even more. Now, building on that previous point, we don't want to just simplify the content, but we also want to simplify and structure the information. We don't want to just cut content down, but we need to structure it for people who skim, people like us. Use things like headlines or subheadlines. Use spacing. Use selective bolding and italics so that if you are scrolling the page, you are getting the most important information at a glance. Or we're seeing what topics are being covered, so when an important topic comes up that I want to read more about, I know to stop and read the information that's underneath it. So think about the hierarchy, think about the structure. Now, while you have that person that's helping you edit your content down and helping you structure your content, you might also ask them to check for typos. You see, our brains play these tricks on us because we know what we meant. And so somehow we see what we meant, even if things are misspelled or entire words are missing. So it never hurts every couple of months to recruit someone to just read through your pages and check for typos. And now this last question, and I put it last because it's a question that may cause you to take the most amount of time or even completely redo your site. I want to ask you, who is your site focused on? Is your website all about you? It makes sense that it would be, but believe it or not, that's not what people are looking for when they come to your website. Donald Miller has done a lot of research and thinking and writing and has created this framework called the Story Brand Framework. And he says that we all are living out a story, and we are all the heroes of our own story. And so oftentimes when we create our church website, we create it as if we are the heroes of our website. But we need to keep in mind that we aren't the hero. We are the guide for the person reading the website. The person reading our church website is the hero of their own story. And so when they're encountering our website, they're not looking for another hero. They're looking for a guide to help them get what they want or what they need, which of course is a deeper connection with Jesus Christ and a deeper connection with the church. And so when we focus on the people who are visiting our website and spend less time focusing on ourselves, we're actually going to build better and deeper connections with those that visit our church website. Lastly, and I put it last because this is oftentimes the most challenging, but we do need to look at the tech side of our websites. It can be the hardest to understand and keep up with, but there are a few simple things that we do need to try and monitor. The first thing is we need to install all of the updates. If you're using a service like Squarespace, updates are handled for you, but especially if you're a church that is using WordPress, you're going to need to sign in at least once a week and look for updates to WordPress itself, updates for your theme, and updates to any plugins that you're using. This will ensure not only that everything is functional, so that all the features of your website are working as you anticipate them to, but that your website stays secure. The last thing you want to do is wake up and find that your church website has been hacked for some reason, or that things are broken, or that things aren't functioning as they're supposed to be. And really signing in once a week, checking and doing all of the updates, that's one of the best ways to stay on top of that. The next thing similar to looking for typos is we want to check the links on our website. And it takes an extra step and a little bit more time and patience than just reading all the words because you've got to click on all the links and make sure that they're working properly. But you want to do that because the last thing you want to do is have a link out to some other site that ends up being broken or sends people to the wrong place or sends people to a website that is no longer safe. We want to be checking and making sure that our links are functioning properly, that they're sending people to where we intend to send them, and that those destinations are still appropriate and safe. Also, you can go through and make sure that if you have a link to a website off of your website, basically to a page on another website rather than your own, consider having those links open in a new tab or a new window so that your site stays open. You don't want someone to click on a link, end up on another website, and then never come back. So opening it in another tab, which is a setting you can get into as you build your links within your website design or WordPress platform, creating it in a new tab will keep your website open. Next, you're going to want to do a little bit of work with SEO, which is the acronym for search engine optimization. It refers to making your site search friendly. The easier it is for search engines like Google to understand who you are, where you are, what you do, the easier it is for them to recommend you to the people who are looking for places like you. So Google is like a matchmaker, right? They want to connect people with the information they're looking for. And you are only going to be that answer if they know who you are. And so there are tips and tricks that you can do to make your website clear, not only to the readers, but to Google itself. And much of this is content-based, but some of it is more technical, like page titles, page URLs, alt descriptions, and things like that. You can check the show notes for links to a previous podcast and plenty of articles on United Methodist Communications, all about SEO. It's a little too detailed to get in here today, and it can be overwhelming very quickly, but oftentimes the articles and the tutorials on United Methodist Communications are written for pastors or church communications folks like you. So check the show notes or just head to umcommunications.org and search SEO. The last technical thing we'll talk about is page speed, because Google has started now factoring in how fast your website loads. So it's not simply that you have to have a good-looking, well-organized website that includes all the information you need, but it needs to load quickly because Google is recognizing that they want to provide to their customers, their users, a good experience. And a good experience is when you click on a link in Google, that link loads quickly. Now, they have a page speed tool that you can use to analyze your site. You can just search for it, the Google Page Speed Tool. You'll put in your URL, and it will analyze your website, both for desktop and for mobile, and then it will offer recommendations on how to speed things up if your site is a little slow. Now, some of it may have to do with your website host or what level of hosting you have, but some of it may also have to do with your website design or the tech stuff on the backside. Now, some of the recommendations that come up with the page speed tool may be beyond your skill level, and that's okay. Again, turn to resources, ask for help, but just do the things that you can, because every little bit that you can do to make your page load faster will help you in your Google ranking, and that is how most people look for churches nowadays, at least when they're turning online. All right, so when it's time to clean up your website, you're going to want to look at things that are design-based, you're going to want to look at your content, and you're going to want to make sure that your tech stuff is up to date. If you can stay on top of design, content, and the technical side, you're going to have a website that is spick and span, that is user-friendly, and that is going to be giving people the information they need to connect with your church. And now, listeners, we want to hear from you. What parts of website maintenance are the hardest for you? Or on the flip side, if you have a great system in place for keeping your website in shape, we would love to hear about it. You can email us at podcast@umcom.org, and we just might share your ideas or your tips on a future episode, and it will help other listeners like you. And you can, of course, use that email, podcast@umcom.org, to send us any feedback or topic suggestions for the show. We always love hearing from you. Finally, if you have found this podcast to be helpful and you'd like to make sure that other church communicators like yourself find this resource, the two biggest things you can do are to share this episode with your friends and colleagues and leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, or whatever service you're listening on right now. Thanks again for listening to the MyCom Church Marketing Podcast, and we'll catch you next time.